Crossroad International Church podcast. We're so glad you joined us. It is our prayer that God will use this message to bring comfort to those who are hurting, give hope to those who find themselves in what seems to be a hopeless situation, and to encourage the one who is struggling through a difficult season of life. For more sermon audio, resources, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit cickuwait.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Today, we're going to be wrapping up our series on the church. We've been in a series on the church for 2 weeks now. This will be the third week. Started 2 weeks ago with just a general overview of the church, just to make sure we all know what it is. You are currently sitting in a church, in a hotel, but you are in a church, but you're also what? The church, right? We are the church, so we've got that, correct? This past week, Steve shared a lot about the local church and specifically, which is basically looking across. It's kind of neat the way we're set up here where you can stare awkwardly at the other side and they can stare at you. So those in the middle, you get to stare at me, which is equally awkward. So we're all staring at each other, but we're all the church and we are here for one another. Had some good conversations over the past week about people just journeying with other people, where, you know, we're called to bear one another's burdens. That's something we've talked about extensively, and I hope you've prayed and considered ways to engage with your brothers and sisters in Christ here, especially in this congregation. Especially in Kuwait, it can be a lonely place, can it? You can sometimes feel, even in a room full of people, like you're all alone. And so we really strive to not have that, and we've done a great job. You've done a great job. Many times when new people come, they're blown away by the welcome that they feel like they've known many people here for a long time, and it's a credit to all of you for doing that. There's, unlike some churches, there's not cliques here. There's all the different nationalities represented here. We all mix together. We don't have like our little circles we just stick to. And so it's noticed, and we're showing the love of Christ to people when they come in. Funny story. My life seems to be full of them, but a long time ago when I was a kid, I've shared this once before, so I hope you laugh either way. But we were out to eat one time with my dad's side of the family, and we were at Pizza Hut. And it was time to pray. And so place is pretty busy, you know, we're sitting there, and I'm a kid. You know, I love Jesus at that point. I had a relationship with Jesus. And so I forget who it was. It was my dad or somebody. Somebody asked my uncle to pray. Let's see if you can relate to this. So my uncle says, sure, and he's this big, big man, boisterous man. So he stands up. Not even joking. He stands up. And then just belts out, you know, our dearest Heavenly Father, you know, and the whole restaurant stops talking. And he goes on for like this 5-minute prayer. And I couldn't tell people, like, people are sort of like, does the whole restaurant pray? Is this awkward? I don't know because I was under the table at that point. But, you know, and I mean, maybe some of you are like, what's the problem with that? I'm not saying it's wrong, you know, if the Spirit leads you to do so, just don't do it when you're with me. But no, it was like this really awkward moment happened, and I was really embarrassed. And so how many can attest, maybe you don't have that specific event happen and be grateful you don't, but how many attest to that you have that person in your family who sometimes, you know, you're just not sure if you can go out in public with, right? And if you do, you just hope you look enough like not like them that, you know, you can just get some distance there that nobody, you can just slide away and, no, I'm not with them. We all have that person in our family, don't we? And so I'm going somewhere with this, don't worry. So today's message that we're going to share when we wrap up, we're going to talk about the church, but we're going to talk about the global church. And we all have an extended family. We have a family of God that is global, a family that you do not see currently, that you do not probably, many people don't know, you know. A lot of us go back home And we have a church there. And so, you know, we see this, and we come from all different places. There's such a mix of people that, you know, we do have almost a small global church just in this room, which is kind of cool. But we are connected to these people. And we need to be thinking and we need to be concerned about the state of the global church. Now, let me make something clear. I'm going to dial in on the global church today, but I do not want to take anything away from the importance of the local church, okay? It's kind of like two pedals on a bike, right? Has anybody ever tried to pedal a bike with just one pedal? You know, it breaks and you're trying to get home. It's not fun and it's almost impossible. That's kind of the same way. So you need both of those pedals turning for the church to have success. So do not break off the pedal of the local church and just focus on the global church, and don't lose the local church. Anyway, you understand what I'm saying, right? Okay, one or the other. So again, we're dialing in on the global church today. So let's open up in prayer here, and we'll get into the message. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time. God, I thank you for this opportunity, Lord, just to share your word, to share on such an important subject as the church, your body, and on a global scale. God, I pray that our hearts are stirred today, that you speak to us, that you challenge us, Lord, and that we leave this place changed by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, in the beginning, as we know in Genesis, there was a family, right? Adam and Eve were there, and everything was good until they sinned, and then not so good anymore. Would everybody agree to that? It doesn't take much to look around outside to see that something has changed since the garden, right? Things are not going well. And so when they did that, thank God that even at that point of their sin, God set a plan into motion of redemption and restoration. From that moment forward, there was a plan set in motion. And you fast forward to Abraham, okay? Abram at the time, and when God comes to him, and if you have your Bibles or if you're using the app, you can pull up Genesis 12 as one of the scripture references there. Real quick side note, if you haven't been here the last couple weeks, if you have the YouVersion, you can find us there under events, and you'll find all of the scripture references there, and you can make notes as well. Genesis 12, verses 2 through 3, it says, "And I will make of you a great nation." This is God talking to Abraham. "And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and in him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, some of the families," no, what does it say? All, right? "All of the families of the earth shall be blessed." Okay? "All of the families of the earth shall be blessed." Okay, so this plan began to take shape and move forward through the generations and through the lineage of Abraham. Up until the point, and it continues, but the most important point of that lineage, of course, was Jesus. Jesus. We're about Jesus. This is about Jesus. And so that was the promise. That was the promise of Jesus coming, and that would be this restoration and redemption. Now, though the promise came through Israel, right, through Israel, through one nation and one person, Jesus Christ, the blessing has always been intended for all nations, right? All nations, all people, this blessing has been made. God's plan of redemption, he's called this church, he's called us to play a part in his plan of redemption. He's called you, he's called me to be a part of his plan. And since his plan is a global plan, our church, we need to think beyond just this part of the world. Now, I'm going to go into it a little bit more later. It's an interesting dynamic being here in Kuwait, but a lot of us, we're not in our, as we say, neck of the woods. I'm not sure if that makes sense to you, but you're not in our home. We're not in our place where we come from. We're not surrounded by a bunch of people that are just like us, are we? Anybody from Kuwait originally? Okay. So, you know, most of us have traveled in from other places. And so this is the idea that we've come together and we are participating in this church, but we must look also outside of just Kuwait while we're here. Right? The church is global. The church is much larger. Now, we can't be everywhere at once, can we? Any takers? No? Probably most parents wish they could, but we can't be everywhere at once. But because, you know, our resources and manpower are limited, but in order to be a part of God's mission on earth, we need to always be thinking in global terms. And this is something that I have to pause and think about at times because we get so caught up, don't we, on our day-to-day lives, just what's in front of us, family, your work, whatever. We can get caught up in those things, can't we, very quickly. It can be overwhelming. And sometimes, how do we even think beyond what we're doing now? We're barely, you know, like, how do we even serve here? Or how do we operate? What do we do locally here to reach others? But beyond that, have you thought much about that? Now, some of you here, I know, we've talked and like what Steve announced with this missions trip coming up. You know, we're doing our best to go outside of this church. You understand? And so, but our mind always has to be not just local, but global. We look at a man named Paul from the Bible. And if you look at his life, he traveled a lot, didn't he? He traveled a lot. He traveled much of his life spreading the gospel. In Romans 15, 20 through 21, he writes, "And thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation, but as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand." We must understand, church, that there are people literally dying every few moments that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just let that sink in for a second. That have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's hard for us to think in the day and age we live in with internet and cell phones and, you know, most of us at least probably know a Christian, hopefully. And we have all this access, but there are places in this world still that have not heard the gospel. And so, again, Paul is talking about here not just going to places. Now, listen, there are places such as here. I mean, Kuwait. I mean, there's places that have access to the gospel. Anywhere in the world, really, that has the gospel. They have access, but they've chosen not to respond. You understand that? It's a difference. There are places that have no access, but then there's places in many parts of the world that have access, but people have just ignored what the word says. They've ignored the good news of the gospel. In Romans 10, 12 through 15, it says, "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then," this is what I want you to pay attention to, "how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." You see, God's plan of redemption belongs to all of humanity. Yet only those who have heard the message are able to respond to it. And so Paul, we see as an example, his ambition in life was to take the gospel step by step, kilometer by kilometer, place by place, he would go until he could go no more to share the good news of the gospel. And really, he was just simply following instructions, wasn't he? Remember what Jesus said right before he left earth? Right? What did he say? Go and make disciples of all nations, right? So Paul is simply carrying out the Great Commission. He actually took it literally. And today, we have to really, we need to stop and think about that. What does that look like for us? Because nothing has changed, has it? That command is still in place by Jesus. We are to go and share the good news of the gospel. Now, though we long to see, all right, Christ glorified in our immediate world, how many would like to see Jesus come back today? I mean, I would. The only thing, maybe some of your hesitations, maybe you have a loved one that does not yet know Christ, and I'll give you a pass for not raising your hand. But it, you know, most of us, the way the world's headed, like, I'm ready to pop, pull the eject handle, let's get out, right? Because it's not looking good. It's not looking good. And so many of us, again, want to see Christ come now. But we have work that's left to be finished. In Matthew 24, verse 14, it says this, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Let me read that again. "And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Can you see that we have a part to play in this? We are always, myself included, oftentimes sitting there, "Lord, when are you going to come? When are you going to return?" And he's sitting up in heaven, "Hey, when are you going to go out and do what I told you to do? So I can." Now, don't get me wrong. Let me promise you that you can bank on Jesus. You can count on Jesus that he will fulfill the Great Commission. He will make sure that it happens on this earth. He will use every means possible to make sure that every nation, every tongue, and every tribe hears the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't worry about that. But you also need to be aware of that we have a part to play. We have a part to play. Many Christians are surprised to hear that there are still many groups of people around the world that have never heard the name of Jesus. We take it for granted that the people around us have access to the gospel if they ever want to listen. Joe, can you get that video ready? I'm going to show a video here. I want to give you just an idea, in case you haven't heard this before or maybe you haven't looked at it recently, of kind of the state of the world, if you will, and this subject.
Jesus told us 2,000 years ago that our mission is to go and make disciples of all nations. He also promised us that only after we accomplish that task will we receive the blessing of his return. So, how are we doing accomplishing our mission? To answer that, let's classify the 7 billion people on the earth today into three groups. Let's start with the Christians. About 33% of the world's population would identify itself as Christian. We call this segment of the population World C, C for Christian. It's important to remember that not all of the people that fall into World C are true believers in Christ. They merely identify themselves as Christian because of nominal belief in Jesus, or because they live in a country where everyone is considered Christian, so they would do the same. Next, there's the 38% of the world that has access to the gospel but has chosen not to follow Jesus. They have Bibles in their language, churches nearby, friends or co-workers who are potentially Christians, or access to other Christian resources in their language. These people have access to the good news, but just haven't acted on it yet. This segment of the population is called World B. That leaves us with 29% of the world, just over one out of every four people on this planet who not only have never heard of Jesus, they have no chance of hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. They have no access to the gospel, no Bibles, no churches, no believers nearby, no chance to learn about Jesus. We call that 29% World A. Now, on to missionaries. Only one out of every 1,800 Christians in World C decides to serve as a cross-cultural missionary. So, we can pull 400,000 missionaries out of that World C population. That's our total cross-cultural missionary force worldwide. Did you know that 72% of all our missionaries are going to World C? That's right. The vast majority of the missionaries being sent out are going to the people of the world that have Bibles and established churches. 25% of the missionaries are sent to World B, where there is already some access to the church and to the Bible. That leaves only 3% of the total missionary force to handle all of World A, the section of the population without any chance of hearing about Jesus. 29% of the world has no way to hear the gospel, but we're sending only a tiny portion of our Christian workers to them. What about finances? Annually, all those Christians in World C earn a total of $42 trillion. And together, they give about $700 billion to Christian causes each year. That includes everything. Christian nonprofits, churches, youth programs, missions, etc. Can you do the math? Less than 2% of Christian income is being given to Christ's causes. Out of that $700 billion given to all Christian causes, only $45 billion is given to missions specifically. That's a little over 6%. In fact, there is more money reported embezzled from the church each year than is given to missions. Remember those 400,000 missionaries? We have $45 billion to support them and their cross-cultural work, but how exactly is it allocated? Well, $39 billion goes to World C every year. Yep. 87% of that missions money is being spent in areas of the world that have Bibles and churches available. $5.4 billion, or 12%, goes to World B each year, those that have access to the gospel message but have rejected it. That leaves only $450 million, or 1% of all missions money, going to World A, the least reached people of the world. To put that into perspective, annually Americans spend more money on Halloween costumes for their pets then get sent to World A. To summarize, only 3% of our missionary force, armed with only 1% of missions giving, is going out to reach the 2 billion people who don't have access to the gospel. 2 billion people are still waiting for the good news of Jesus Christ. So here's a question for you. What are you going to do to change that?
I don't know about you, but that was hard for me to see. I mean, to just see those numbers, to see how things are breaking down, like where support's being allocated, and it's very sobering. It really stirred me. Like, what am I doing, you know, personally, but also as a church, what are we doing? See, we need to work together for the gospel. And we can do that. We can partner with other believers all around the world in the global church. And once we start developing a passion for Christ's glory to be seen around the world, then just like this video asked, then we need to figure out what role are we called to play in it. Listen, we are all... Right? I don't need you to pray about this. I don't need you to hear a voice from heaven tell you this. Okay? We are all called to be involved in spreading the gospel around the world. All. Every single one of us. And one question I want to ask, and I'm not going to make eye contact with anybody on this, is God calling you to take his gospel overseas, to some other country? Okay, I'm going to make eye contact again. My question, though, is God speaking to your heart? And if you're like most of us, I mean, we've also heard, you know, Steve mention many times the calling and the dodging, or trying to dodge it anyway, of being called to missions, and Lord, send someone else. That's a good prayer. It is. It's we need to pray. But is God speaking to you? Can you go? And I don't want you to discount this too quickly. Yes, it's crazy when you first think about something crazy, you know, like going to some country that you can't even pronounce or never heard of. But it's a question, I think, for us to pause and to pray through. And the reality is you either discount it too quickly. Some of us are just simply too comfortable with our current lifestyle. Others quickly assume that we are called to something else, right? It's like, sign me up for the greeting team at the church before you send me overseas, or I'll watch over the pastries inside the coffee room. That'll be my ministry. And check the box. But is God calling you to something more? And here's one for you. Have you ever genuinely, keyword, genuinely, told God that you would submit yourself to his will in this area? That's scary, isn't it? It's scary to surrender our will to anyone. Even to God at times. I mean, it's hard. That I will do whatever you want me to. I was sharing with someone before service, you know, one of the prayers that I prayed, I shared my whole ordeal. Was it last week, I think it was? Last week? Shared kind of everything we've gone through. And one of the things I remember praying towards the beginning of that, you know, maybe a year or so before that, one of my prayers became, Jesus, make me more like you. I don't recommend doing that unless you're prepared for what comes next. There's a reason Jesus was called a man of sorrows. When you see Jesus, you can probably picture maybe him dragging this cross. Of course, he's a risen Savior. We have that now, but it doesn't mean that he skipped or bypassed any of the suffering, does it? So what is God calling you to do? And are you willing to submit? You may not be called to go, okay? We may not be called to go, but you are called to give. Whether it's through prayer, whether it's through finances, whether it's through just support with somebody that you know that goes through that is going. We sent a few out of here on trips and stuff, and we've supported them in every way through prayer and through finances, and we want to continue to do so as those opportunities come up. But we need to support those that are called to go. That is your part. There are some of us, some people are called, you're called to just be a light to where you're at, to your job, to your family, and that's fine, and don't feel guilty for that. Do it well. If God has put you there and called you there, then do it well. But don't forget about the people that have gone and that are somewhere else sharing the gospel in these hard places. You know, again, it's very natural for me while I'm sitting in Starbucks or Caribou or something, you know, kicked back in a nice seat with a cup of latte in my hand. Do I really think about the missionary out on the field, you know, sleeping on a dirt floor and having a hard life, or maybe just lost a child due to lack of medicine or access to a hospital? I'm just telling you, that's me. It's hard. If we don't put it in front of our face, we're not going to stumble onto it, are we? Because there is plenty in this world to distract us from what we are called to do. And you never know what one person can do. One person. Does anybody know a gentleman by the name of Edward Kimball? Is there one person here that knows this? Edward Kimball. Okay. Maybe this person you'll know. Have you ever heard of somebody named Billy Graham? Anyone? Go ahead and raise your hand on this one if you know. Let's get... Okay. Billy Graham, as a lot of you probably know, he went home to be with the Lord this past week. Almost a century on this earth. And through a chain of events, which included Billy Sunday as well, through a chain of people, Edward Kimball was a Sunday school teacher who helped lead Dwight L. Moody to Christ. And through a series of events and relationships, and basically you can follow the trail to Billy Graham. And I read this and I had to write it down. It's estimated that Billy Graham reached, by God's grace, 215 million people in 185 countries. It just takes a minute just to think about that, doesn't it? I mean, if I'm counted, when I get to heaven and I hope, you know, Jesus can say, man, you reached 10 people for me, I will do a dance. But 215 million people? And I promise you, if you ever read about Billy Graham, or he didn't set out with a number in mind. He just simply set out to please God and to answer the call that was on his life. And this is what happens, church, is like, it's not just going to like stick out right in front of you necessarily, but what is God calling you to now, at this moment? And are you praying? I mean, because that's really, Steve's and Kath, that's a great story of their, how it happened, you know, just praying for someone else to go, but it was on their heart to do so, wasn't it? They were praying, at least. And it was through that that God was able to speak to them and, no, you're the one. You need to go. Now, here's the good part. There's some good news. We are in a very, very, very strategic position here in Kuwait. I had no idea when I came here about the expat population and how many expats are in this country. Would you like to know how many? The breakdown? Yeah? Okay, I'm going to give it to you. So the non-national population of Kuwait, and this is, I think, from maybe 2013 or something. But there's 825,000 Indians, all right, when this thing was reported. 517,000+ Egyptians, 181,000 Bangladeshis, 140,000 Syrians, 126 Pakistanis, 185,000+ Sri Lankans, 185,000 Filipinos, 130,000 Sri Lankans, 74,000 Ethiopians, 10,000 Jordanians and Palestinians, 62,000 Nepalians, 50,000 Iranians, 42,000 Lebanese, almost 9,000 Indonesians, 16,000 Iraqis, 15,000 Afghans, 13,000 Americans, and 11,000 Yemeni. If you look, has anybody ever heard of the 1040 window? Okay. If you look, the amount of countries on that list that fall across there is crazy. Good crazy. So what am I saying? If in case I'm not speaking clearly, we have the world right outside of our door, is what I'm saying. The opportunity you have, you think you came here for a job, God has something else in mind. The job is great. Be faithful in it. Be thankful for it. Be faithful with your giving. But you are side by side with people from all parts of the world, and especially UPGs, unreached people groups, are sitting literally across from you, are standing next to you on the street. Do you understand that? Sure, there's a language barrier, but that can be worked out somehow, I promise you. My point is, these people are literally right outside of our door. You should all be clapping, because that might mean you don't have to go to some country that has mosquitoes the size of 747 jets. That should excite you. And again, I know. But then I also look across this room and I look at all the nationalities. And you know, one thing we're doing right now, we're ministering to some maids. And the great thing is, there are people in this congregation from their country. And guess what they can do? They can speak their language. And guess what we can do? We can minister the gospel to these people. Isn't that amazing? So while we are here and we are participating in a local church called Crossroad International Church, we have the distinct privilege, not available to most places in the world, because we have this melting pot of people all around us. And so our heart as pastors here at CIC is to raise people up, because what is the other thing about Kuwait? What is it? It's we always hear this term. It's a revolving door, right? So people come. We have them for a few years. We get the gospel to them. We raise them up. We get them on their feet as a Christian. And then what are they going to do? They go back home. They go to the places you don't want to go. Amen. Let me get a shout out or something. Anybody charismatic in here? No, okay. Sorry, wrong church. But come on, right? That should be, I would do a dance, but you wouldn't want to see that. It's exciting. We just got to figure out, we just got to simply ask God to show us, Lord, what, where, who? Give me that person. They might smell, let me tell you this. They might have different hygiene than you. But I promise you, if you ask God, he'll show you, and you, he will give you the grace to get past that. Because once you start seeing souls who are on their way to hell that need to hear the good news, I promise you, you will get past any smell, the way they look, the way they talk, any of that. In 3 John 5 through 8, it says, Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testify to your love before the church. You do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, for they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, you guys remember me always talking about therefore, right? Therefore, so we're taking this first statement, now here comes the therefore. We ought to support people like these that we may be fellow workers for the truth. In verse 6 there, to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. How cool would it be, how awesome would it be to get a hold of these people while they're here right outside of our door, get them all on track, get them ready to go, and then to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. To carry the gospel. This is how it all started. Did you know that? There was no internet back then in Jesus' time, if you didn't know that. There weren't phones. There weren't like billboards. What happened? Why did it spread so quick? Through word of mouth. A lot of times it was in prison. You'd have a prison mate and you share the gospel and you get saved. Well, your prison guy either gets free or gets sent somewhere else. And then he shares with somebody else from another place. That's how it spread. So God tells us in his word that history is moving toward a specific and glorious end. Regardless of what you see in the world and regardless of what's happening, rest assured that he will accomplish his mission. In Revelation 7, 9 through 10, after this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation. Thanks. Was that you, Matt? Oh, yeah, thank you. I get one. Let's try that again. From, sing to me. Yes. From every nation. You guys need some coffee in here. Let's try this again. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation. From and peoples and languages standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Is there any question, regardless of where you're from, of what the word every means? It translates pretty clearly, doesn't it? All tribes. Okay? Jesus will accomplish what he has set out to be done. When Jesus returns to reclaim this world as its rightful king, we will find ourselves praising God alongside Christians from every age and from every nation on earth. Our plan for our future ought to affect the way we live and think today. So, whenever we preach as pastors, one of the things that terrifies me the most, and probably we're going to regret saying this, but is when somebody comes up and says, that was a great message today. Do you know why it terrifies me? Because I have this concern that it's going to end with, that was a great message today. Now back onto my life and what I need to get done and what's important to me. Anything you receive while I speak or Steve speaks, it's only by God speaking through us. And if there's anything that you found edifying, encouraging, or good, it's only because of God. But the biggest thing is that we do not leave this place and leave that message. Whatever God has spoken to you today, do not leave it parked here in this room. This is why we post the messages online. This is why we have life groups that will ask questions regarding this message. There are questions also on this app now that you can go through on your own. And you need to spend some time, because if there's anything in you right now, or if you're just asking God, I don't know where, you need to go and you need to sit this week and spend some time praying and going over that and saying, God, show me. Show me. We've as a church, we've made the decision and we're moving forward. We will be tithing 10% of all of our income to missions. So hands down, one place to start is by just giving here at this church, because we will give 10% of all of our income to support missions. But don't stop there. Most of us in this room are very blessed financially. Even if you're struggling, you're very blessed compared to many parts of the world. A lot of us are here, maybe all of us are here, because we can make more money than in our home country, right? Some of us come for different reasons, but the majority come because we got a good job here. So are you being faithful with that? Are you being good stewards with what God has blessed you with? I'm not saying don't start throwing your money to all these different ministries. No, pray about it and look for good ones. You can talk to Steve and I, and we do have some personal relationships with people that we can say, this is a great place to sow. But just, know that you need to do something. At a minimum, you should be praying. I was looking on the YouVersion app, and there's Bible reading plans, and you can go through like a 21-day one where it's different parts of the world, different countries, different people groups, and you can watch a video about that people group, and you can pray and spend time in prayer about that. We need to be doing this, church, because when we pray about it, God begins to speak to us about it. Why? Because it's at the forefront of our mind now. And we're here to help you in any way we can as far as getting plugged into somewhere to get hooked up with somebody to minister to them. We will help you do that. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today, God, and I thank you for this opportunity to share your word. God, I thank you that we are a part of such an amazing thing as your church. Not just here locally, Lord, but all around the world, we are united with people. God, we thank you that we were able to sing this hymn today, along with many others over this course of this weekend that we'll be singing. Thousands and thousands of people will be proclaiming this good news and singing praise to your name. And there's something about knowing that and realizing that we are not alone in this world. God, I pray that we're able to pause for a moment to realize first how blessed we are. But God, also that we don't get distracted, Lord, from the work that needs to be done in many parts of the world. God, just to think that there are people that do not know what the love of Christ is, that they don't know you personally, Lord. God, that should make us shudder. That should spur us to action. So God, I pray that you have spoken to us today and that in our hearts, Lord, you have put something that we can take from this place, that through this week as we meditate on your word and we pray about this, Lord God, that you will give us just insight, Lord, where to put our resources, God, but also, Lord, if there is someone that we work with or somebody that we see on a regular basis or just somebody that comes across our path, Lord, I pray that we'll be sensitive, Lord, to your leading to share the good news. But God, that it doesn't stop there because your word says that we're to make disciples, not converts. But God, that we're willing to journey with these people, that we're willing to invest in these people, God, so that one day when they leave this place, they go back to their country full of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, we pray now for those that are the boots on the ground, Lord, in these places right now. We pray for strength for them. We pray, Lord, that they will be blessed, that they their bodies are in good health, Lord God, and that they're walking out this calling, Father, and they're doing the work that you've called them to do, the work of the Great Commission. And God, we just want to stand with them. We're grateful that we can stand in spirit with these people, that we can uphold them and pray, Lord, that they are strengthened, Father God, in their endeavors. God, let us be willing to answer the call, whatever it is in our lives, Father. And God, I lift up each one here today that we be people of action and not just talk, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.